All right. For the past few weeks, I've been dealing with the subject of true godly repentance. Looking into the scripture that we might know and understand what repentance really is and what it's all about. I've made this statement. I said most people who think they have repented really don't know what repentance is. And so I've used as a basic text a verse in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Where the apostle Peter wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now Peter is speaking specifically of God's promise in the gospel, the salvation of sinners, the preservation of his people unto glory, which means the second coming of Christ. Christ is coming again. And we pray like the apostle John, even so, Lord, come back, come on. Every generation, I think, since the death and resurrection of Christ has thought that their generation was going to be the last one. You know, Paul dealt with that in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But we don't know when he's coming back, but we know that he is. And we know this, his return is not delayed. He's not waiting on us or anybody to do anything. It's already set. The Lord God knows when he's coming back. And nothing's going to change that 1 second earlier or 1 second later. He's not waiting on a temple to be built in Jerusalem. He's not. He's coming back on that day that he knows. But I know this, he's not slack. That means he's not slow. He's not hindered in any way. As some men, unbelievers, he's talking about, scoffers, count slackness. So somebody comes and says, well, you know, hadn't come back yet. That means he's not coming back at all. No, he's not slack concerning it. He keeps his promises. He never fails. All of his promises are in Christ. Yea and amen, sure and certain. But God is long-suffering to usward. God has a point in time, and it's because of the salvation of his people, the us there. God is long-suffering. He's patient. He's enduring toward us. Now, who is the us there? That's his elect people, whom he gave to Christ before the foundation. The Bible says their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And God's not up there writing in names and erasing out names and all of that. That's false religion. But he's long-suffering to his people. And it says, not willing that any should perish. That is his people, the us, his elect. God's got a people and he's going to save them. And he's not willing that any should perish. And how's he going to do this? How's God going to bring them into the kingdom? How's he going to accomplish it? He says, but that all should come to repentance. That's the goal. God's going to bring them to repentance. So as this us in 2 Peter 3:9 refers to God's chosen, justified, redeemed, adopted people, the Lord will not return until the last one of them is brought into the kingdom, brought to repentance. Now, repentance, let me say, you know, most people think of repentance as reformation. But repentance is not reformation. Now, reformation will follow repentance. You understand what, you know what reform, reformation is? It's people changing. They may change like the Apostle Paul, as we read in Philippians chapter 3, from false religion to the religion of God's grace. From thinking themselves to be righteous in God's sight because of their accomplishments, to being humbled by God to see that they have no righteousness in themselves. They're totally at the mercy of God. Only a sinner saved by grace. That's what I am. That's who you're listening to. I heard a man say about one fellow laborer of mine. He said, a guy walked out of the service, a man, after hearing a gospel message, and he said, well, I'm not coming back here. That preacher's a sinner too. Well, you're listening to a sinner. If God were to give me what I deserve, it would be nothing but death and hell. But thank God it's by grace. And that's how the Apostle Paul was changed on the Damascus Road. He came from high religion and morality and sincerity and zeal and dedication to being laid in the dust. He came to repentance. He saw everything that he before saw as right and good and pleasing to God. He said, I count it all but loss. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. When I see Christ, the glory of His person, this thing's not about who I am. It's about Christ. He's God manifest in the flesh. Why would I want to get up here and brag on me? When I've got the message of the Son of God incarnate. Let me tell you who He is. Because that's what you need to know. You don't need to know who I am. That's what John the Baptist said. I must decrease. He must increase. Our old pastor in the preacher school up there, he said, preach Christ and then get out of the way. That's how I feel. Who He is. Let me tell you about what He has done. It's not about what I've done. Shouldn't I be working for the Lord? Shouldn't I be obedient? Yes, but it's not about me. It's about Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Let me tell you about His obedience unto death. That's what ought to mean something to us. That's our hope. That's our ground. Let me tell you about His blood, His precious blood shed on that cross to put away the sins of His people, by which He hath perfected them that are sanctified forever and ever, by His one offering. He's my surety. He's my substitute. He's my Redeemer. He's my Lord. Let me tell you about His righteousness. You want to talk about yours? Well, I wouldn't have too much to say because you don't have one in yourself. But I talk about His. The merits of His obedience unto death. Charged to my account. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? Christ died. Yea, rather risen again. He's my intercessor, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession. That's what Paul, that's how he repented, how God brought him to repentance, and that was his reformation. You say, well, Paul, I'm finally glad you stopped taking drugs. Paul never took a drug. Paul, I'm glad that you stopped drinking alcohol. He never drank alcohol. What kind of reformation are you talking about? He didn't have a testimony about coming from the gutter to the pew. No. He repented of something we all must be brought to repentance. Our own self-righteousness, self-love. Our own pride. And be humbled in the dust at the feet of Christ. But there may be another kind of reformation that comes with, like old Zacchaeus. He was a wretched, rotten, thieving publican. He told the Lord, he said, this day if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to return fivefold what I got out of. You think he was doing that for salvation? Absolutely not. That was a product. That was a fruit. But old Zacchaeus had to be brought down from the same high horse that Paul had to be brought down from. His own bad thoughts. So repentance is not reformation, though reformation does accompany repentance. Repentance is not just feeling sorry for your sins. That's what most people today, I think, really believe. You just feel sorry enough to change. But that's not repentance. Now, feeling sorry for your sins will accompany repentance to some degree or another. And the way I say it that way is, look, I do feel sorry for my sins. You feel sorry for your sins. But shouldn't we be sorrier in ourselves? Think about it. Only a sinner saved by grace. God brings His people to repentance through faith in Christ. That's how God does it. How do I get to repent? You see, both faith in Christ and repentance of dead works and idolatry, which the Scripture calls it, are both gifts from God. You see, if you've been brought to faith and repentance, don't be proud of yourself. You didn't make that difference. God gave it to you. Gifts of His grace from Christ. All whom God chose before the foundation of the world, all whom God justified by the blood of Christ based on His righteousness imputed, all whom God has adopted into His family, all whom God, Christ redeemed on the cross, all of them, without exception, will be born again, will be given the gift of faith and repentance from Almighty God. And what I want to know and what you want to know is God given me that gift? It didn't come out of me. It didn't come out of my goodness, my power, or even my will. By grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when it comes to my salvation, I didn't make the difference. God did. It's of the Lord. Now, when I was in false religion, I really thought I did make the difference. But you know what? God gave me the gift of repentance, and I had to repent of that. He brings His people to repentance through faith in Christ. Like faith in Christ, it's a gift by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when in the new birth, He changes our minds. That's what the word repentance means. It's a change of mind. Your thoughts, your ideas, your preconceived notions. How do you think about God? What do you think of when you think of God? Now ask yourself this question. Are my thoughts of God, are they based upon what God says about Himself in this book? And if it's not, your thoughts about God are idolatrous. And you need to repent of it. You need to turn from that false God to the true and living God. That's what Paul said about the Thessalonians. How you turn from your idols to serve the living God. God as He identifies Himself in this book. That's what most people need today. They carry Bibles, but they don't know the Word of God. They don't know the Bible. They say, well, you interpret it your way. No, it's not like that. You see, if that's the way it was, we'd all be in a mess. God the Holy Spirit in the new birth gives us a new heart, the mind, the affections, the will. He changes our will. He makes us willing in the day of God's power. You see, the natural man will not receive these things, will not believe them. He doesn't want them. They're spiritually judged, and we have no spiritual judgment by nature. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. We're ruined by the fall. If left to ourselves, we'll reject it all of our lives. And perish with all unbelievers. But He changes our mind. He changes our whole view and judgment in matters concerning salvation and a right relationship with God. That's what repentance is. It's a conversion by the power of God where He changes my whole view. How I look at everything. And Randy and Jim were talking about it. Turns our world upside down. That's what happened to Paul. He said, that which was valuable to me, that which I thought recommended me unto God, I count it all but loss, even dung. What a change. What a reformation. That's something, isn't it? But it's a change of mind concerning these issues of salvation and a right relationship with God. In the new birth, faith in Christ and repentance of dead works and idolatry. And here's what he says now over there in 2 Peter 3:9. He says God's going to bring His children to repentance. Now what I need to know, what you need to know, is has God given me that gift of repentance? That's what I've been dealing with in these messages. Somebody said, who are God's elect? I'll tell you how you know them. They've been brought to faith in Christ and repentance from dead works. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How are you going to make your election sure? How am I going to be sure that God chose me before the foundation of the world? That my name was written in the Lamb's book of life. It's by your calling. And what is that calling? It's the calling of the gospel, the true gospel, wherein Christ is revealed in the glory of his person and the power of his finished work, his righteousness. It's in the calling of that gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that brings a sinner to faith in Christ and repentance. That's what it is. Now, what I want to just deal with a few more minutes, is repentance as a way of life. If you've been brought to faith in Christ and repentance, both faith and repentance is your way of life. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's a way of life. First of all, there is an initial repentance. Repentance begins in the new birth. Look here at 1 John chapter 1. Listen to what he says here. Verse 1 of 1 John 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our mind, hands have handled, and of the word of life. What John is saying is what I'm telling you is what I've seen firsthand. This is not a myth. This is not a hoax. This is not just a folk story. I saw it, John said, with my own eyes, handled it with my hands. This is not a pipe dream. And he says in verse 2, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. What did Christ say to his disciples? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. John says, I've seen it. And I bear witness. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm not just trying to entertain you and keep your attention. I'm telling you what I've witnessed. And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that is through the Son. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. That's the goal. Now, how does God bring a sinner who by nature is ruined and dead and unbelieving, idolatrous, even the morality now, even the religious. How does God bring one into his fellowship? Well, he says, by that which we declare unto you. What we're telling you. This is a message. This is the calling unto faith and repentance. And he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Over in the book of 2 John, verse 9, he makes this statement. He said, he who transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he who abides in that doctrine, he has both the Father and the Son. How do I know the Father? Only as the Son reveals him. And how is the Son revealed to me? Through the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Peter said we're brought into fellowship with the divine. The divine nature. What is the divine nature? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, we're made partakers of the divine nature. That means we're brought into fellowship. It's the same word that John uses here for fellowship, that word partaker. He says we're brought into fellowship with the Father and the Son, with the divine nature, by the promises of God revealed to us. What are those promises? The promises of my salvation based upon the blood and righteousness of his Son. That's how. And he says in verse 4 of 1 John 1, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We joy in the Lord. That's Christian joy. It's not joy in the world that passes. There's joy and peace in believing, Paul wrote. Believing what? Believing God's word. Believing the gospel. Believing in Christ. Resting in him. Pleading his righteousness. There's joy there. If I try to plead my righteousness, there's no joy there. Why? Because I've been brought to repentance. I know who I am. Somebody said, we know who we are, but we haven't seen the half of it. We're like those two farmers from West Virginia who decided to take a trip to the ocean, standing on the shore. They'd never seen anything like that. One farmer said, man, look how big that thing is. And the other one said, that's just the top of it. That's us. But my joy is full with the fullness of Christ. I'm forgiven of all my sins. You know why? What I used to think about the forgiveness of sins, what I've repented of? I used to think that I was forgiven of my sins when I rededicated. You ever done that? Man, I used to keep the aisles hot. Especially during youth revivals. And I knew what I was. I sowed my wild oats and I had to walk that aisle to rededicate. Now I'm fine. I had peace over that. That's a false peace. That's a false peace. But now my joy is full because it's in the fullness of the Son of God incarnate. It's in the fullness of His righteousness. And so he says in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now, you know what that light does? That light is the light of Christ. It's the light of truth that not only reveals the true and living God as opposed to our idols by nature, and reveals the true person of Christ and His finished work. It's that light, but it also exposes our depravity. Exposes our sin. John wrote about that in John 3:19 and 20 when he said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Those deeds, what men by nature hold in high estimation, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. What deeds is he talking about there? He's talking about our religious deeds. He's talking about our morality, which we hang our eternal life's on by nature. And we like that covered with the darkness of false religion, false professions, false experiences. But when the light comes along and exposes that, we see that which we're so proud of, we've got to repent of. That's repentance. Are you beginning to understand why most people don't want to hear what real repentance is? They really don't. He says in verse 5, he says, we declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, he brings us to repentance from that darkness. And we walk in the truth of Christ. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He brings us to thinking that we make the difference in that issue of forgiveness. Whether it be by our acceptance of Him or not. It's just like I heard one preacher say. He said, what is the condition for you to receive forgiveness? He said, that condition is repentance. Not so. If you've come to repentance, you'll repent of that. You say, well, it says if there. Look at it. If we walk in the light. Understand this. Now, this is a very, very important rule of interpreting Scripture. The if passages. There are conditional ifs. You young people in school, if you study, take the test, and make a good grade, that was conditioned on you. Isn't that right? That's a conditional if. If you don't study, and if you don't answer the questions right on the test, you'll fail. That's a conditional if. But when it comes to salvation, all conditions have been laid on Christ, and He fulfilled the conditions. And the if here is not a conditional if, it's an evidential if. It evidences that you're in Christ. You say, well, how do you know the difference? Well, you got to understand the context. This is about the gospel. This is not the law. The gospel says that Christ fulfilled all conditions, and the evidence of his people being his people, justified, redeemed, adopted, regenerated, is this. They walk in the light. They walk by faith in a continual attitude of repentance. And what does this say about? It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin. Christ took care of it. Repentance. Last week I've dealt with this. This initial repentance, it brings us to repentance and righteous judgment. Judgment based on God's word. Our judgment of who God is and what he requires changes. Our judgment of ourselves and our sins change. Our judgment of who Christ is and what he accomplished in his death changes. Even our judgment of saved and lost changes. And again, that's not to say that we can know everybody who's saved and everybody who's lost, but here's what we do know. Everybody who's saved is saved by the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God, based on the righteousness of Christ. They believe the gospel, and all who are lost believe not. Our judgment even of what pleases God and what does not. And this brings us to that repentance that continues throughout our lives as believers. Faith